I am an IB Language and Literature Standard Level student. Today I will be discussing a passage from The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The Great Gatsby is known as the quintessential American novel. Written by F. Scott Fitzgerald in 1925 and set in the summer of 1922, it follows the story of Gatsby, a man who is in love with a woman called Daisy, who he hasn't met in 5 years. The story is narrated through the eyes of a young man named Nick Carraway, who had just moved from the Midwest and is unfamiliar with the extravagance, opulence, and moral decay of life in the East Coast. The novel follows Gatsby's love for Daisy and the tragedy that ensues. Fitzgerald has incorporated a deeper underlying theme of how the failures of the American dream, and how the American dream has destroyed as many lives as it has created, such as that with Gatsby. In this passage from the middle of his novel, The Great Gatsby, Fitzgerald explores and clarifies the true extent of Gatsby's love or infatuation towards Gatsby, while also reaffirming a subtle criticism of the blind pursuit of success created by the American dream. I would like to begin by talking about some of the auditory imagery present in the passage. In line 3, we can see, once Gatsby's party has ended and Daisy has left, we can see that a sad little waltz is playing in Gatsby's house. This is an example of imagery that reflects the mood of the story. It gives the reader a physical manifestation of the feeling of what Gatsby is feeling on the inside. In particular, this is the age of blues and jazz, and it is known to be a particularly depressing genre, in strong contrast to the vibrancy and life that is normally associated with the Roaring Twenties. The title of the song, 3 o'clock in the morning, implies a sense of loneliness that Gatsby might be feeling, and foreshadows what is to come in Gatsby's terrible disappointment and sadness that he was not able to get Daisy, and it allows the reader to sympathize with Gatsby, almost as if they have some that kind of music playing in the background. Furthermore, in line 4, the use of the word drifting to describe the music coming out of the room, the music being played, implies a certain lack of energy, an almost lethargic feeling. And this is juxtaposed against the end of Gatsby's energetic and somewhat morally loose parties. And it implies to the reader that something is amiss due to the sudden change in pace and tone of the novel. I would now like to talk about one of the most important themes in the novel, and arguably the biggest driver of conflict, Gatsby's love for Daisy. In line 11 of the passage, we can see Fitzgerald describing Gatsby's love for Daisy as an unwavering devotion. This is especially surprising when you consider some of the context of the novel, where Gatsby has not met Daisy in over 5 years. The fact that he's still devoted to her, on the surface appears as a true love. A man has never been able to let go of Daisy. Fitzgerald furthers this point by describing the possible encounter with Daisy as a magical one. And while this is very, very difficult for the reader to empathize with, they can certainly sympathize with the idea of being so in love with something that it becomes the very focus of their life. Gatsby's love for Daisy also appears to cause him great pain and distress, as we can see in line 21 and line 16, where the skin is drawn unusually tight on his face, indicating a sense of stress and anxiety, and a physical reaction towards Daisy's lack of enjoyment of his party. In line 21, we can see that he has an unutterable depression. The use of this word depression is very strange in this context, as this story is set in a time where opulence and joy and the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of pleasure, more accurately, is everything. The fact that Gatsby is depressed despite having all this money, despite having enormous amounts of wealth, he is unable to be happy because he does not have his woman. And that can be interpreted as love. However, I would now like to talk about some of the more subtler implications of Gatsby's love for Daisy and how that links to Fitzgerald's underlying criticism of the American dream. One of the biggest themes in this passage is the delusion of money. Is the delusion of money. For example, in line 26, we can see that Gatsby wanted nothing less of Daisy than for her to tell Tom that she never loved him. First off, I want to talk about the language in this quote. So, by saying nothing less, it implies that Gatsby has this unrealistic expectation of Daisy, that she tell Tom that she never loved him. Now, this is a very profound statement. This is a very profound statement, as Tom and Daisy have been married for over 3 years. Furthermore, the fact that Gatsby even expected Daisy to do this, is an indication of the delusion that he holds. He seems to believe that because he was Daisy's first love 5 years ago, and that he has become wealthy, that he can simply turn back time. This is further emphasized in line 31 of the passage, where we can see Fitzgerald describing Gatsby's desire for him and Daisy to marry in Louisville at her house just like 5 years ago. Fitzgerald uses Gatsby's delusion that money can overcome time to criticize the American dream, not to criticize some of the aspects of the American dream, such as the blind pursuit of wealth. While the American dream on the whole does promise prosperity and success for those who work hard, it doesn't appear to make any provisions for those who fail and the costs of doing so. In particular, Gatsby appears to have lost touch with reality, in that he believes that by spending enormous amounts of money, by buying a house next to Daisy, by throwing these massive parties, that Daisy will simply drop everything that she has lived, drop the life that she has lived for 5 years, divorce the man who she has a child with, and go and marry Gatsby. In a sense, material wealth and the blind pursuit of it has blinded Gatsby to reality. Furthermore, it can also be inferred that Daisy, on a more metaphorical level, Daisy was the physical manifestation of Gatsby's dream, and it was everything he worked towards. But in doing so, he ignored everything. He used a lot of unsavory methods, associated himself with a lot of shady people in order to get this wealth. And he believes that since he got it, he can do anything. And this is, in my opinion, one of the most important passages in the novel, because it is such an explicit, it highlights this delusion that all the characters seem to hold in the novel quite strongly. I would like to conclude with a quote from line 38 and 39 of the passage, where Gatsby says, "Why, of course you can," in reference to Tom's question of how he can repeat the past. This sums up the entire not only the delusion of money that's present in this passage, but all of Fitzgerald's criticisms of the American dream. The fact that Gatsby even entertains the thought of being able to turn back time is incredibly shocking to us as the reader, because it violates everything we know and accept as truth. And what's even more surprising to the reader and more critical of the dream is the fact that Gatsby believes money can do this. He believes that material wealth can bring him love. There is the idea that money can be an escape from anything. And on a bigger note, in the context of the entire novel, we can see that Gatsby uses money to get out of situations, for example, being pulled over for speeding. Tom and Daisy are especially guilty of this, using this to cover all manner of both moral and legal crimes. And it also implies, from Fitzgerald's standpoint and his criticism of the dream, that the ends justify the means, in that Gatsby, the fact that he became wealthy justifies the fact that he was a bootlegger, he violated a lot of laws, and in a way he promoted immorality through his parties.
Thank you. Can we go to line 20, please?
Okay.
As well as line 25. Can you talk about Fitzgerald's choices as a writer and the effect on the reader?
So, line 20. She didn't like it, he insisted. She didn't have a good time. Well, for one, Fitzgerald's use of the word insisted to describe what Gatsby is saying shows that Gatsby has a very, very strong opinion towards it. He's already decided that she doesn't like it.
And what's he decided? Why hasn't Daisy liked the party?
Probably because of the shock of meeting Gatsby for the first time. It made her very, very uncomfortable. And some of the emotions that it might have brought up from both parties, and that Gatsby expects Daisy to suddenly fall in love with her, and Daisy isn't willing to do that because she has a life with Tom.
Excellent. Can you talk to me a little bit about the narrative voice and the point of view and the effect that has on the audience?
Well, the entire novel is narrated in first person by Nick Carraway. And in this case, from line 25 onwards, we can see that the point of view has shifted. It's not Nick in the first person; it's more Nick reflecting back on the past. And this does foreshadow some of the conflict in the novel, but it gives the reader greater insight into what's actually going on in the passage, without some of the context, the previous lines give without this. This shift in tone and point of view. It's very, very difficult for the reader to decipher this, and I think Fitzgerald wanted to emphasize this point of Gatsby's delusion at an appropriate point in the passage.
Okay. And my last question, can you look at lines 34 and 35, and can you talk about Fitzgerald's choices as a writer and the effect on the reader?
He broke off and began to walk up and down a desolate path of fruit rinds and discarded favors and crushed flowers. This is a very, very powerful image for the reader, as number one, it juxtaposes the vibrancy and the joy people have at parties, for example, the fruit rinds and crushed flowers, which are a luxury and an element of Gatsby's parties. And this is juxtaposed against the use of the words desolation, discarded, crushed, that all imply a sense of defeat, of loss, and most of all, unhappiness. The fact that Gatsby is walking down this is a very, very, it's a very classical image that the reader can imagine, where he's surrounded by the ruins, the ruins of a party that are almost taunting him, saying that he has not been able to find love, and it implies a sense of futility on his part, because in the end the flowers are crushed, the favors are discarded, the fruits just are peeled and used, and there's nothing left for Gatsby.
Thank you.